She stands in the face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave. So raise the banner called Old Glory. Let us join our fellow men.
Don't you just love that? Man, oh man. And I love representing organizations that are strong in their affiliation with veterans, first responders, and America. And one of those sponsors that is the very forefront of standing with those is Sanderson Ford. Sanderson Ford is a strong, strong provider of community support, first responder support. They're a great member of our community. Now, they also just happen to be the most award-winning Ford dealership in the entire country. And they're right here in your neighborhood. There isn't another, I haven't visited another car dealership in about 18 years. And I visited a couple because I had been buying at Sanderson Ford for so long before that. I thought, well, let's go see what everybody else has.
Didn't miss nothing.
I didn't miss nothing. Been back at Sanderson. Didn't buy anything anywhere else. But have been sending family, friends, my company, both my company, all three of my companies. They don't get vehicles anywhere but Sanderson Ford. And if you'll just take it from me, when you're in the market for a new or great used car, stay right here in the community. Go with someone that supports America, supports Arizona, supports your neighborhood. The good folks, family owned and operated, Sanderson Ford, owned and operated. I think they're going on six, though now they just had the 66th sale. So I think they're going on 67 years old and 64 acres of vehicles. You will never, ever regret stopping at the lot on 51st Avenue, south of Glendale, of Sanderson Ford.
Continuing our celebration of American patriotism here on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, there are events all over the state going on. Not hard to find, just search them in. But one interesting one, have you seen the Tower Challenge Foundation out of Tucson? They have three different locations at the Tucson Convention Center, wherever the Coyotes play. I can't remember the name of the stadium in Glendale right now.
The Glendale Arena.
And then NAU Sky Dome. Mm-hmm. And you go climb 2,071 steps, which is how many steps were in the World Trade Center, all 112 stores. But one interesting one as well, there's a Carefree Arizona is the Carefree 9/11 reflection. Resident and former Marine Sergeant Bob Jenkins will speak about his experience being in the 39th floor of the World Trade Center on that day. That's at 6 o'clock tonight at the Town Council Chambers. That'd be interesting.
There are a number of events. I think Gilbert's having something at 6:30. Mesa Amphitheater's having something. East Valley and all over the state. Even Sedona's, I think, having something. Yeah. So.
And let's bring Megan into the conversation, who has called. We've asked for people to call and share with us stories they have of the hope and the love and the unity and the patriotism they saw on 9/12. Good morning, Megan.
Hi, Rosie.
Tell us your story.
Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
So my daughter and I lived together and worked together on the morning of 9/11. And we, while we were getting ready for work, that's when we saw what happened. And we both just were stunned. We called in to our boss, told him we weren't going to be at work. And then we went straight to the Red Cross, thinking that we were going to donate blood when we got there. because we didn't know what else we could do. When we got there, there were hundreds of people wrapped around that building in line to give blood. The Red Cross volunteers were beside themselves because they didn't have the staffing to deal with those people. And so several of us, my daughter and I and several other people, jumped in and started scheduling appointments with people to, so that they could come back and give blood. We were taking names and numbers so that we could get a call list going to call them back. Meanwhile, others were coming, going to the store and coming back with bottles of water for all the people that were in line. And I just knew from that is when I felt like we're going to be okay. Because this is our neighbors. We're all taking care of each other right now. And so that was just such a hopeful moment in my life.
Well, thank you for
that moment helped me get through it.
Thank you for sharing it. And it's going to help all of us get through today's anniversary. And it's exactly what we're here for with Dr. David Dean, Associate Professor of History at Grand Canyon University, sharing what you remember about the hope of 9/12.
Sure. And you know, 9/12, I, like you, was shocked on 9/11. I'm a person that watches the news, flips between as many news channels as I can, and I was probably up all night watching. And then on 9/12, it's settling in now, and that's when the stories of people helping, the heroism, the just, you know, going to the Red Cross. Newspapers started to have full page ads from companies like American Express and Bank One at the time. Hey, get out, give blood. American Red Cross, big ad, have people come out. The community was rallying around. And we mentioned before about flags. A little company in St. Louis, the All States Flag and Banner Company in St. Louis, by September 14th, 2 days later, 3 days later, they had over 3 million requests for flags in their little five-person office. That's how people were responding.
How do you get 3 million requests in 3 days at the time?
The orders, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Coming in.
I mean, that's a massive amount. And the internet was not very old yet.
Right.
There's no way that many phone calls came in.
Right. So somehow or another, they're just, you know, the orders are pouring in because people are out of the stores and the hardware stores and places are out of stock and things, and they're making flags.
So it wasn't individual orders. It could be the Walmart of Arizona
right.
asking for another 500,000 flags.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That's awesome. Well, I can remember reassuring people at the time. I said, look, it hurt. That hurt a lot. But we're America. You will hear in a lot of stories that it was the worst terrorist event on American soil. Now, if I lived in 1812 and I saw the British burning down my White House, that seems pretty impactful. I'd be pretty upset that day.
Sure. Well, and the War of 1812, of course, was a significant day. It's probably one of the toughest for Americans at the time because, yes, the British came and sacked the capital. They're bombarding our forts. They're attacking not only just up in Washington, D.C., but up in the northern part and down in New Orleans. And so there's a lot of comparisons. But one of the things about that is that's a nation state attacking another nation state. And that's not a terrorist attack. It doesn't meet that definition. It certainly was a bad day, but it's not necessarily a terrorist day. There are other examples like the Oklahoma bombing, 9/11, of course. The towers had been attacked before 1993. Those are the kind of terrorist attacks that we kind of come to. Even Pearl Harbor sometimes gets compared because of the surprise and shock. People reacted in many of the same ways, but the events itself are more nation states against nation states, as opposed to this clandestine terrorist. We don't really know what this enemy's face is, and now we have to notice all that.
You bring up Pearl Harbor, and of course, I was born a little bit after that, so I can kind of relate to the kids that have been born the last 15 years, didn't experience it. But I'll never forget, I was working for a man by the name of David Dace, Dace Painting Company, and this is about 1984. And he drops me off at a home in the Encanto Historic District and says, let me show you what she wants done, and we're going to repaint this basement. And I go down in her basement, and she's got – it's like a museum. in this basement. And I, for the life of me, I cannot remember this woman's name. But about halfway through the morning, I'm finishing prepping and getting ready to break out the paint. She comes downstairs with some donuts and coffee. And we start visiting. She was a survivor of Pearl Harbor. And this just happened to be December 7th, about 1984, 1985.
Wow.
And she went on for 2 hours with tears running down her cheeks, talking about being in the shower and her window in the shower. She could see the harbor. And she watched the entire thing standing in her shower.
Mm-hmm.
And but like you say, that's... But we weren't at declared war, so that's different than 1812, right?
Right. It's different. The Japanese, of course, right afterwards, they're making a declaration of war. But there was already tensions worldwide. The Axis powers were already formed. War was breaking out in Europe already. It was only a matter of time before America was coming into the war. And Imperial Japan's aggression was had its eyes on the American soil to try to stop them from... us from retaliating against them in their expansion. But again, those are geopolitical things that have deep roots in diplomacy and in nation states and those things, whereas terrorism, it's ideological and it's there to create an emotional reaction, to disrupt and destroy, not to necessarily conquer or whatnot. So
now like this book you've brought in, what is that?
So I brought in the actually official authorized edition of the 9/11 Commission Report.
Is that like riveting reading?
It's absolutely nail-biting reading. It's a page-turner. They even have a few pictures in it.
So you're saying it's a government snoozer.
Yes. But the interesting thing about it is the recommendation section in the back. So this, after bipartisan committees from Congress investigated 9/11, asked what happened, how can you do better, those things, overwhelmingly the recommendations come about is about unity. More unity of purpose from Congress, more unity between agencies, sharing information, and trying to set up, this is where we get the Homeland Security, the TSA, and those things, because the idea was to bring together. The failures of 9/11 were not that we were unprepared, it's just that we didn't realize that we needed a more unified response. And so taking the lessons just from the people around and their efforts, Congress and this report really comes to a conclusion that the only way that we can be prepared again is with a unity of purpose. And I think that that phrase, unity of purpose, is really what Americans were already experiencing and doing.
Here's what I want everybody to think about in our last break. When we come back, what will it take to restore the unity? I don't want to go through another 9/11, but I've had it about up to here. With the disunity that keeps us from getting anything done. What can we do? I'm reaching out to listeners. Text us. Call us. And we're going to go around the table right here in studio. What can we do to maintain the unity without having to suffer another event like that?